Right, gang, welcome to the Priority Learning Culture Coaching Podcast. I am Mike McKean, connected here online with Ralph Twombly, one of the owners and operators of Priority Learning. How are you doing today, Ralph?
I'm doing terrific. Mike's good to see you. I know the rest of the audience can't, but I can.
Good to see you as well. So today we're going to be talking about creating psychologically safe workplaces. Now that's kind of a mouthful. A lot of the time when you are talking about a workplace kind of thing, we like to try to condense it down to, but a psychologically safe workplace, just it feels like a very weighted topic.
Well, first of all, like I said, it is good to see you, and thank you for sharing the time. One of the things that comes up routinely now is the concept of psychological safety. Now, a few years ago, a gal whose name I don't want to mispronounce, and if anybody's interested, all they have to do is contact us, wrote a book about psychological safety and started to realize that psychologically safe work environments create high effectiveness. Now, let me differentiate. There's efficiencies and effectiveness in work. You can be efficient but not effective. In other words, you can be doing the wrong things. And what we found out was that not everybody, we realized that personal safety was aligned with high productivity and innovation. So she did the research, she did amazing work, and now all of us practitioners work with psychological safety as an element. We're asked about it a lot, and we spend a lot of times working with people, leaders particularly, on creating psychologically safe environments.
So, what exactly is psychological safety? How would you define that in the workplace? And why has it become so important these days?
Psychological safety, you have to think in two by twos, right? Or the grid. Right. And if you looked in the lower left-hand corner, we know that there's a certain audience in every workforce that's apathetic. These are people who just don't care. They're coming there to get a paycheck. And as long as they do what they need to get their paycheck, they move on. They are what they are, and we need them, but they're not adding great value in terms of creativity. They're not doing more than what they absolutely have to. We also know that there's also an audience that wants to learn everything all the time, wants to be fully engaged, and wants to really stretch their work into their learning. In other words, they're continuous learners, and they live their lives fully around that concept. In addition to that, we also know that there are two ways that we have built business. One of them is if you're heavily focused on numbers, for instance, you have to produce number. A good example these days is the medical industry, where you have a 15-minute doctor's appointment, because that's really all they're allotted per patient. And so basically what they're doing is they're doing the quick diagnosis to get you out. And in essence, what they've done in a lot of hospitals and clinics is they've created a turnstile. Doctors are rated on their 15-minute metric. Now, what happens when you do that is you miss the patient contact. You miss the whole reason that a lot of doctors get into the medical industry, and that is to treat patients. So a lot of these dynamics, and it's not just there. We've taught bankers how to work on incentives, and all these kind of things. And what happens sometimes is people are so busy fetching the number that they've forgotten that meaning and work should align. So, and to this regard, when they wrote the book, they were really talking about what makes work meaningful. And working that has meaning has relevance. It adds to your personal learning in addition to your quality of life in the work job balance that we're all looking for. Sounds complex, and I know that was a mouthful, but there is, for any of the folks that are interested, just go to Google and type in psychological safety, and you'll see a 2x2 grid that will pop up that will talk about each one of the four categories. And it's easy to understand.
So, what is going on right now that is making it more of a priority than, say, it was 20, 30 years ago?
Well, in another podcast, you and I are going to talk about multi-generational workspaces. People come to work for slightly different reasons now. The kids coming out of school or coming into the job have a little bit different expectation. They not only want to make some money and get some security, they also want their work to have meaning. They, and which I don't know about you, but I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think most jobs that are worth doing have meaning. So what they're looking for immediately when they come out is meaning in their work, not just to hit a number, not just to, of course, we all have to do that. That's how business functions. But they're looking for meaning. And meaning usually is wrapped around, am I innovating? Am I contributing in more, in other words, to an institution in a way that brings out the best in me, that brings out my best for the institution. And more and more and more people are looking for that environment. If they don't find that, Mike, they turn over. They will go elsewhere because there are a lot of environments that are starting to learn this psychological safety lesson and are providing psychologically safe. Now, let me continue a little bit about what is psychological safety. If you're free to speak your mind, even though and not be judged, you're in a psychologically safe place. If you're free to be innovative without fear of ridicule or condemnation because your idea might be a little wild or a little off the chart, you're working in psychological safety. If you feel like to reach over and help your teammate is a big piece of your job and is a big piece of their job, you're in a psychologically safe space. Because it not just creates good work, it creates great relationships. And that those great relationships are shared with customers who also are part of the equation. And we just find that psychologically safe environments are more productive, happier places to work, better with their clients, make greater money. It just cascades and cascades.
I think one of the interesting, and it's not a counterpoint so much as something to realize, is that a lot of, and speaking on the multi-generational topic quickly, which I know we will cover in a future podcast, but these days I see a lot of the back and forth, and it is some of it joking, some of it's making fun of the other, of how some of the younger generation comes into the workforce and almost asks for a little bit too much of that psychological safe environment where it's like, oh no, I have to take a mental day because I can't handle this kind of a thing. And it's like, all right, well, the deadline was today and we have to do the project. So, and it's just one of those really interesting things that we have to make sure that we set proper boundaries, I think would be the appropriate way to discuss that. With what is psychological safety and what is, all right, well, sometimes you just got to put your shoes on and get the work done and go ahead and you know what I mean? And that's why there has to be that balance.
Yeah. I don't think it's a counterpoint at all, Mike. I think you're exactly right. I don't think that I always remember my very first real job after I got out of the military, and somebody asked me what I wanted to be, and I said, I want my boss's job. Now that was like a week into the job, right? So I don't know that times have changed all that much. I think what has changed is that it seems like, and maybe this doesn't seem like, there's a lot more options for kids. They're not going to burn themselves out. And again, I know we're a little off topic, but they're not going to burn themselves off like their parents did and their grandparents did. They have more options, they can do more things, and they're quicker to go, this environment doesn't work for me. I'm going to go someplace that it does. We've also found out that psychologically safe environments sometimes pay less money, but have better retention. And the reason we know this is because people feel like owners every day. In other words, they feel like they have personal ownership and everything. And you know, because and I know because we're both entrepreneurs, that there's no better feeling in work than ownership. You know, when we feel like we're doing our best work and we're really contributing because we're working hard at it, it's a great thing.
I agree. So, getting a little bit back on topic here. So, let's say you feel in your organization you aren't in a psychologically safe work environment. How do you begin to plant the seeds to move in that direction?
So in the beginning, I think what you have to do is you have to find at least one colleague who you can share an idea with. I think sometimes people think, well, I'm going to burst into the CEO's office and tell him we need to be psychologically safe. The vast majority of CEOs I know, that might not work for. So let me give you a nice, safe, easy way to do it. You find a colleague after you've learned a little bit about psychological safety and you share your information. And then before you know it, you're sitting in the lunchroom with two colleagues. And you start to talk about this. Well, as you and I were talking about earlier, it's easy to, for a good idea to catch fire. Now, at some point in time, if you get a suggestion box, you can put it in the suggestion box and maybe create conversation. And if you're working at an entry level in an organization, it's called what we call bubble up from the bottom. However, if you're listening to this podcast and you're in a position of responsibility and probably authority, don't be afraid to get out there and look around at what psychological safety is and what it can do for your organization. And on the same light, create a conversation with a colleague. I think too often we go into a boardroom with our peers and we just launch into an idea and they all think we're just a little loony and the idea dies on the vine. I would never go into a room and talk about psychological safety without three friends who came with me and wanted to also share the conversation. It's a good thing for business. It's easy, it's inexpensive, and it's a nice way to create an organization where everybody wants to work there.
So, and again, not trying to play the devil's advocate, but you say it's easy, but there's a lot of people who are very set in their workplace ways, who aren't necessarily going to want to sit there and listen to these suggestions necessarily, or to like, how do we convince them, the people who are like, you know what, we're at work. We're not here to feel our feelings. We're here to get our job done. How do we start to melt that ice a little bit, if you will, and get them to warm up to this idea?
It's such a it's you you I always defer to you, Mike. You always seem to ask the right questions. I think in years gone by, we taught employees to check their brain at the door. It's the most counterintuitive thing to the human condition you could ever think. Think about them telling you how to live your life or where to live your life or how to manage your own relationships. What we know is what is native is the sense of ownership. And sometimes people who have been conditioned to check their brain at the door, you need to ease into. I will tell you, it's native to us all. So I always share the story about the one gal named Helen who comes to work, says, "I'm going over in the corner to do my work. Please don't bother me. I'm here till 4:30. Please don't bother me. I'm going to go out the door at 4:30. Please don't bother me." And she also serves on the PTA. She walks half marathons for cancer, and she takes better care of her aunt who's living on a fixed income than any five people could. We live two lives. There's no reason why we can't live one and share it at work. That's what psychological safety is.
Well, Ralph, thank you so much for enlightening us a bit on what psychological safety is and giving us some concrete steps that we can use to move forward to introduce that into our workplace, either in a safe way or in a more direct way, if it already is a psychologically safe work environment that just maybe needs a couple of cobwebs dusted and some other areas looked at, or even the unsafe work environment where we can maybe get some things. Some seeds planted and some ideas growing. All right, gang. So we will see you next time here at the Priority Learning Culture Coaching Podcast. You can find it on many of your online podcast resources as well as PriorityLearningResearch.com. Ralph, thank you again for sitting down with us and sharing your time, and we'll catch you guys next time at the Priority Learning Culture Coaching Podcast.